my friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and happy Thanksgiving! Now, the holidays are full of laughter, family drama, indulging in food, and for some, romance. But with romance comes heartbreak, and some handle a breakup better than others. Now, some people are the wrong people to dump, because that's when they show you their inner psycho. But nobody, and I mean no one, can top Catherine Knight, the woman who murdered her boyfriend only to eat him and serve him to his children. Oh yes, my friends, today we'll be discussing Catherine Knight, and I hope you've eaten before hearing this. Listener's discretion is advised. If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to check us out on YouTube at All Things Murder. New episodes on Thursdays. Born on October 24th, 1955, in Tenterfield, Australia, Catherine Mary Knight was the product of a scandalous affair between her mother, Barbara Rogan, and her father, Ken Knight. Barbara was already a mother of four boys from another man, and she met Catherine's father from her then-husband. So, mom's a hoe, so this is not looking great. Now, the affair rocked their small town, forcing the couple to move to Marie. Her father, Kent, was a violent alcoholic who raped her mother at least 10 times a day. Catherine claims that she was actually sexually assaulted by several other family members, which stopped when she was 11, where when she complained to her mother, Barbara, telling her, you know, what's going on, Barbara said, quote, "Put up with it and stop complaining." Real mother of the year, and they wonder why these terrible mothers, and we wonder why we have serial killers. Shocking. In school, Catherine was known as a bully who terrorized smaller children. She never learned how to read or write and dropped out of school at 15 to work at a clothing factory. A year later, she landed her, quote, "dream job" at a slaughterhouse, cutting out the internal organs of animals. There, she was quickly promoted to boning and was given her own set of butcher's knives. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own dream, but a slaughterhouse? Red flag. Back at home, she would actually hang the knives over her bed so they would always be handy if she needed them. First comes love, then comes murder. While working in the butcher shop, Catherine met a man named David Kellett, who was a raging alcoholic, much like her father, who was prone to fistfights. God, these men just sound like real A-listers. Often when David would get into fights, Catherine would actually step in and back him up with her fists. Like, no one messing with my man, back off! He soon realized, however, that Catherine was capable of doing way more than a little damage with her fists. Before long, he found himself actually being dominated by her. Yeah, dude. She works in the slaughterhouse. You are her bitch. Yeah. In 1974, she convinced him to marry her. He was heavily drunk the entire time. Like, he was hammered, okay? The entire time. And her mother even came up to him and warned him about her daughter's temper, saying that her daughter had a, quote, "screw loose somewhere." Anne warned him that Catherine will kill him if he did anything to upset her. Like, you're drunk at the wedding, people are telling you, dude, do not do this. She will kill you. And he still went through with it. Like, why, my dude? Why? On the night of their wedding, the couple consummated their marriage 3 times. But when Catherine insisted on a 4th, and David refused from being exhausted, she strangled him. Like, bitch, I just went 3 times. And she should be very appreciative of that, because most men last like 5 minutes. So for him to do 3 rounds, and she getting pissed off about a fourth? Like, appreciate that you got some, lady. Even though she attempted to kill him on their first day into their marriage, their union lasted for more than 10 years. Gotta give some credit to that guy. That bitch sounds nuts. Their marriage was, however, far from perfect, obviously. On one occasion, when Catherine was heavily pregnant, she burned all of David's shoes and his clothes before hitting him across the back of his head with a frying pan because he was late from a darts competition. This lady has all sorts of red flags. Like, no. Your ass is home late, ping. David now would go on to have many affairs, and after finding out about one of his affairs, Catherine was seen violently pushing her second child in a stroller down a busy street. She was later admitted to St. Elmo's Hospital in Tamworth, where she was diagnosed with postnatal depression and spent several weeks in recovery. After she was released, Catherine placed their two-month-year-old daughter on local train tracks shortly before a train was coming, and threatened several other random people with an axe that she stole. Like, who the hell let this crazy psycho out? Like, yeah, she looks fine. Yeah, let's just let her go. Totes. Idiots. Luckily, the train did not come and kill her daughter, and her child was spared. Catherine was arrested and again taken to St. Elmo's, but made a miraculous recovery, and she signed herself out the following day. Like, you just tried to murder your, not only your kid, but, like, other people. Just, yeah, let's just sign her out. Good bill of health. What is wrong with people? While Catherine was in the psychiatric hospital, she would tell nurses she intended to kill a mechanic who repaired David's car, which made it possible for him to leave her. Despite this threat, David took Catherine back when she was released from the hospital. Dude. Get it together. She's psycho. Run away. Their reunion did not last long, and Catherine went through a period of deep distress, you know, after David finally realized she's a crazy psycho. In 1986, shortly after her breakup with David, Catherine just jumped into another romance with a man named David Saunders, who was a local miner. Another David. Somebody has a type. Within a few months, David moved in with her and her two daughters. However, he decided to keep his apartment, and Catherine, being crazy, was incredibly jealous and suspicious about what he did when she was not around. Like with her previous relationships, this one was toxic and violent. At one point, she slit the throat of his two-month-old dingo puppy in front of him just to show him how freaking crazy she was. And they still stayed together. And he even had a daughter with her a year later. She just killed a dog in front of you. And you're like, let's procreate. Yeah, let's mix our DNAs. However, David found his marbles and realized he should leave Catherine. So he left her shortly after the birth because she attempted to kill him with a pair of scissors. Oh, that was the wake-up call. She then met a man named John Chillingworth. Now, they stayed together for 3 years and had a child, Eric, Catherine's first son. There was no violent incidents reported in the relationship. It seemed to have ended after John learned that Catherine was actually having an affair with a man named John Charles Thomas Price. Lady just hoeing it up everywhere. The beginning of John and Catherine's relationship was, you know, no complications, no violence, like, okay. Okay. And John had two older children who lived with him, and they seemed to actually really like Catherine. And he made enough money as a miner to, you know, keep her lifestyle comfortable. They moved in together in 1995, and things were going really well. No violent behavior and everything, like, she turned her crazy off. Woo! Sadly, that did not last long, because in 1988, Catherine suggested that the couple get married. She's like, okay, we've been together. Let's just get married. And John was like, no. She then turned violent. Turned that crazy switch on. She would go on to frame John for stealing things from his job, which actually led him to being fired. John initially kicked her out, like, crazy bitch, get out. Yet a few months later, they started seeing each other again, but this time he refused to let her move back in. Like, okay, let's take it slow here. You are flipping psycho. In February of 2000, an argument between the couple escalated when Catherine attempted to stab John in the chest. Yeah, I'd call that escalated, for sure. He took out a restraining order against her in an attempt to keep both him and his children safe. After filing the restraining order, John would actually go on to tell people he was concerned for his safety and told his co-workers if he ever went missing, it was because Catherine killed him. Like, hey, you know I'm dating a psycho, right? If I go missing, that bitch did it. The murder. On February 29th of 2000, John came home from work and followed his usual routine of checking in with the neighbors before going to bed at 11 p.m. Earlier that day, Catherine had bought some new black lingerie and came over to John's home, made herself a little dinner, watched TV, showered, and then went upstairs to wake John so the two would have sex, and he went back to sleep. I just came here for a piece. Now, remember the knives she had next to her on her bed just in case she needed them? Well, you guessed it. She took her knives and not only stabbed him one time, but stabbed him 37 times. Talk about overkill. Like, geez, chick. According to evidence, he woke up during the attack but couldn't fight her off, so John bled out. Catherine then dragged his body downstairs, where there she skinned him and hung his body from a meat hook in the living room. Then she decapitated him and cut up pieces of his body to cook in a dish with potato, pumpkin, beets, zucchini, cabbage, squash, and gravy. Just making herself a little manwich dinner. She made herself a plate, but according to evidence, looks like she couldn't complete her meal. She then lay down next to the mutilated corpse of John, took a large number of pills, and blacked out. The next day, John's co-workers remembered his warning and called the police when he didn't show up for his shift. So the police arrived to find Catherine's gruesome crime scene and immediately detained the comatose Catherine. Once she woke up, she claimed to have no memory of the night before. Like what? Oh my god, what could have happened here? Like, bitch, shut up. In the kitchen, police found John's head boiling in a pot of vegetables on the stove. On the table, they found two full plates, each labeled with their name. Police horrifyingly realized that Catherine had planned to serve John Price's body parts to his children. How messed up can someone be? Like, I don't want to marry you, so you murder me and try to feed me to my kids? This, gentlemen, this is why you don't fuck with crazy. Despite her claims that she had no recollection of the night, you know, John died, Catherine Knight was quickly charged with his murder, as she should be. In October of 2001, her trial commenced, but it didn't get very far. For reasons that still remain unclear, she changed her plea to guilty and the judge adjourned the case without any testimony. She was escorted to prison that day and the judge ordered her papers to be marked never to be released. Yeah, I wouldn't release this psycho chick either. For the first time in history, a woman in Australia was given a life sentence without parole. To this day, Catherine Knight nevertheless maintains her innocence, and she refuses to accept responsibility for her actions. She still claims that she didn't do it. Like, not me, guys. Not me. Like, are you freaking crazy, lady? Catherine Knight has appealed her sentence before and was denied almost immediately. She is still serving her life sentence at Silverwater Women's Correctional Center. And that, my friends, is the gruesome true story of Catherine Knight. Beyond Bad is the true story about her crimes. If you ever want to check out that movie, just have a strong stomach for it. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and don't forget to tune in next week for a new All Things Murder, if you dare.